2 Peter chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 20. 2 Peter 2 is dealing with false prophets, false teachers. 1 John tells us there's many out in the world today. There's more than we realize. But we need to be aware of the difference between false and true. And we're still on the entangled theme. And I really kind of struggled with this one, the message. But I knew it took a while for the Lord to get me here. But He did, and I saw what He had for us. Let me be real clear. We're talking about false teachers, and we're talking about those who are listening to them. I believe after studying this passage, there are saved people. And you say, Brother Raines, what about the Holy Ghost? We've all got the Holy Ghost living inside of us. It's up to us whether we listen. It's up to us whether we follow. And I believe there are saved people listening and following and imitating lost people in the form of false teachers, and they're going to end up in a lake of fire. You're going to end up at the judgment seat of Christ, saved, yet so as by fire. So you better be careful who you're listening to, and I put myself in that boat. A, I need to be careful who I'm listening to, and if you're listening to me, you need to be careful. I'm not ashamed to say it. You know why I'm not ashamed to say it? A false prophet won't tell you that. A false teacher is going to say, you better listen to me. Here's what one preacher in this state said a few years ago. He said, if you're following me, that's all you've got to worry about, because you're following me as I follow Christ. You've got the Holy Ghost living inside of you. Everybody in Progress Baptist Church, everybody in this church that I know of understands what the Bible says about the responsibilities of the pastor. So I'm not afraid to tell you, you need to be careful who you're listening to. Look at verse number 20. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, does everybody agree that our world is polluted? We're not talking about litter on the side of 26. That's mild compared to what we're dealing with in this town. Lord, have mercy. And it's everywhere, but you see it up close and personal where you live. If after you've escaped that through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are again, what's the next word? Would you say it? Therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Time out. This verse is not teaching you can lose your salvation. Say amen. We'll get to it in about an hour and a half. I hope you didn't leave your roast on, okay? In about an hour and a half, we'll get to it where it is possible to have a head knowledge and you've escaped some of that head knowledge, that heritage, that Southern churchianity that you got in North Carolina. It's possible to have that and not know Jesus. So watch now and look in verse number 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Can I be totally upfront with you? That's the ones I'm more concerned about. I want to expose false teachers. I am more worried about the people who follow their pernicious ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Okay, may the Lord help us this morning. Look at verse number 20 again. They've escaped the pollution in the world only to become what? Entangled. The worst thing you can do is have a head knowledge of Jesus Christ, go to a good independent Bible-believing church in North South Carolina, East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, in that little area there on the map. The worst thing you can do is get a good head knowledge, listen to the preacher when he preaches on work and money like I did last week, and just be a good King James toting citizen, okay? And it not be in your heart. That's the worst thing ever happened to you. A, if you're not born again, you're going to end up in a lake of fire. B, you could get ahead knowledge and somewhere down the road that sin nature rises up stronger than ever and all you've got is morality and you don't have the Holy Ghost living inside of you and you end up worse than you were. So here's what he said, Brother John, in verse number 20. You escaped. Okay, you got out of the corruption that's in the world through lust. Only, look later in verse number 2, only to later become what? Entangled. So the title this morning is Escaped, just so you could be entangled. Go to Amos chapter 5. If this verse don't shock you, I don't know what will. Look, go to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, would you look at verse number 5? I guarantee you there's people in this church that when your Bible reading comes through Amos chapter 5, this verse has leaped off the page at you. If you're paying attention when you're reading, you can't help but it just grab you and you're like, whoa, what on earth is going on here? Let's look at the verse and I believe the Lord will show us exactly what he's talking about. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Let me remind you from our study of the minor prophets, they had such a head knowledge, they were going through all the rituals, Brother Michael, offering their offerings, lifting up their hands, offering the incense. God had to tell him in Isaiah, he said, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. You're nauseating me. So in chapter 5, verse 18 of Amos, they're so bold. They're going, yeah, Amos, you've been preaching about the day of the Lord. Bring it on. Bring it on. We're going to pass with flying colors. Do you work with anybody like that? Do you have lost friends and family that are as far away from God as they can be? And they talk about the things of God like J. Vernon McGee. You want to know if somebody's serious about the things of God? You know what Paul said? You know what Paul said about the judgment seat of Christ? I exceedingly fear and tremble. But we got people in 2019, carnal, unfaithful, ungiving, uncaring, don't care about lost people, and they just nonchalant going, oh man, I can't wait till Jesus comes. And I'm going, man, I need to clean up a little bit before Jesus comes. That's the mark of a true believer, is they're always searching their heart. David said, in that one chapter, at the beginning he said, you've searched me and know me. At the end of the chapter he says, search me and know me some more. That's what a true believer is talking about. Look at Isaiah 5:18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. What end is it for you? What's it going to bring? The day of the Lord is darkness, not light. He said, you ain't coming out like you think you are. This ain't going to end well. Look at 19. He said, it's going to be like a man who flees from a lion and meets a bear. Now, you having a bad day. If you escape a lion and you run into a bear, I ain't seen any lions in Western North Carolina. But we went to a cookout the other Wednesday night after church, Four Seasons Boulevard, and a bear ran through the clover leaf. So I ain't seen any lions lately, but we do have bears or bars, whatever, if for Transylvania County, bars. And if you outrun the lion and you run right into the arms of a bear, you are having a bad day. Second Peter, you escape the pollutions of the world only to get entangled with the filth of this world. Reform all you want to. There's a good young man. We run into him. This family said they had seen us in a couple meetings when the family sang. There's a good young man in the upstate area. He's got a heart for God. He's got a heart for inmates. And the Lord has opened some good doors for him. But I'm not his pastor, and I'm not going to overstep my bounds. But about three times a week, he tells us about 11, 12, or 15 that got saved. I've dealt with inmates for 7 years of my life, and when the Lord opens the door, I'll deal with them again. Let me tell you something. I could have come to y'all three times a week and have told you about 11, 12, or 15 that got born again. When you're down on your luck, you'll pray a prayer. And I'm just here to say, if you give them a head knowledge and they repeat a prayer, they've escaped the pollution that's in the world through lust for a little while, they're going to outrun that lion and run right into the arms of a bear. Look at the next picture that he puts in the text. This one is even more gripping to me. We don't get it. And because we don't live in the Middle East, and I'll explain that in a minute. Or you went into a house. A house is supposed to be a safe place, right? A comfortable place, a warm place, a relaxing place. You went into your house, leaned your hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Now, hopefully you don't understand what that's talking about. I hope there's no serpents in your house. Would you say amen? They lived in an arid, dry, desert part of the world. And they built their houses out of rocks. The rocks would be cool and inviting to a serpent or a snake. And they didn't have the tools that we have for everything to be sealed as tightly as it is now. And the little serpents, the adder that you read about in your Bible, they would get in between those rocks. And he said, you've come in from a hot day, you've been out working, and you come in and your wife's fixing your meal, and you just lean up on that cool rock yourself, and that place that you thought was going to be safe and warm and welcoming and inviting was your doom. If all you get is a head knowledge and reform and do better, it will be, if that's all you get, that's going to be the very thing that brings you to destruction. And you may die a good man, but you'll still die lost. So I want you to go back to the text and let me show you three simple truths in 2 Peter chapter 2. Escaping only to become entangled. The method that is tried and true. Would you look at what Satan used? Look in chapter 2, verse number 18. We're talking about false teachers, and those who are following their pernicious ways. Look in verse number 18. When they speak great swelling words of vanity. Church, tell me what vanity means. Empty. I'd rather listen to a 3-year-old stumble through John 3:16 than listen to a message full of great swelling words of vanity. When they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure, any of you fishermen? They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Look at that word wanton. It's a strong word. We don't use it today in our normal conversation. It is vile. It is filthy. The Bible talks about wanton eyes. You know what? Here's my 2019 description and definition and interpretation. They're wanting something. That's hillbilly, but it works. Wantonness. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. There's that word escaped again. What did Satan put into the heart of the false teacher to allure people to him? The lust of the flesh. What did Satan use with Eve in the garden 6,000 years ago? The lust of the flesh. What did Satan try to use with Jesus in the wilderness 2,000 years ago? The lust of the flesh. You know what Satan's motto is and hanging on his shop wall? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the reason he's still using the lust of the flesh is it's working every time. Brother John preached it in a 5-minute devotion this morning. Crucify your flesh. Kill the flesh. Die to the flesh. You put off the old man. You say, I can't do it. That's exactly right. Jesus did it on the cross. Galatians 2:20, the life which I now live, say it, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Get up, if you're able, put your knees on the ground. If not, sit on the side of your bed and say, Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit today. I can't do it, but you can through me. God lives inside of me, and I'm going to walk in victory. And if there's no desire for that in your life, if there's no, I'm not saying you're not going to have bad days. I'm not saying you're not going to stumble. There's too many verses that tell us how to help a stumbling brother. But if that is not a burning desire down inside of you to live for Him and to be a light there at the railroad, to be a light to those foster children, to be a light wherever God has you, if that's not inside of you, the preacher is telling you with all humility, check up. I ought to get more amens than that. Check up. We've got corpses. I don't care for all this zombie culture and all that stuff, but it's with it walking dead and all that filth. And let me tell you why Satan does that. He does that to desensitize us to the horrors of sin. Percy Ray could preach on hell and judgment 50 years ago, and you'd fall in the aisle if you were saved and ask God to check you out one more time. We've seen so much junk today, nothing moves us. You say, Revelation scares me. Look at the preacher. Revelation's supposed to scare you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't let somebody tell you you're not born again because fear was involved. Hallelujah. Had enough sense to be afraid. Being afraid will keep you out of that road. Amen. The lust of the flesh. Look at verse 3 in chapter 2. Through covetousness. I preached on it last week. I preached on it the week before. Never satisfied. Never satisfied. Preacher, I'm just full of ambition. I love ambition. I hate covetousness. There's a world of difference. I'm going to ask you again because God said to, can you live without it? If you can't live without it, you're covetous. If you can live without it, take it or leave it. Hey, I enjoy it. It's nice. It's fun. I share it with others. I believe you've got a hold on it. It don't have a hold on you. John's family, several years ago, he said, Preacher, my mom and dad want y'all to use their mountain home over on Caesars. He said, but I don't think you ever will. I said, John, we actually will. He said, you will? I said, why? He said, why? I said, because I think you mean it. He said, we do mean it, Preacher. The young bloods, when y'all coming back out to the farm? When y'all coming back out to the farm? Some people don't want you anywhere near their stuff. You follow me? I don't want those kids. Look, they ran a path in my farm. Yeah, that path, your farm needs a path. Ain't seen human life in 30 years. Use what God's given you to be a blessing to others. Can you live without it? Covetousness, what is that? Lust of the eyes. Never satisfied. If you've got a youngin' that wants to give and do and be a blessing to others, you better fan that fire. Oh, what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. Look at chapter 2, verse 10, start in the middle, B. Presumptuous are they. These are the false prophets. Self-willed. Not afraid to speak evil of dignities. False teachers now, look at verse 11. Angels, they're greater in power and might. Brother Ains, are they greater than us? Yeah, when Jesus came to earth, Brother Michael, had to make himself what? A little lower than the angels. Look at verse number 11. The angels don't bring a railing accusation against them. Do you know what he's talking about? The forces of evil. The spirit world. A lot of people these days write books and do speeches and little video clips on spiritual warfare. And they'll tell you to get in the devil's face. You're a fool. The Bible says Michael the archangel didn't even rebuke the devil. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. So what I want you to see in 10b and 11 is this, the trademark sin that the enemy is using with these false teachers is the pride of life. So in chapter 2, these false teachers have succumbed and they are overtaking themselves and they are taking those that they live and teach and model and lead in God. They are leading them in three areas: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The teachers, the preachers, the ones who stand on the pulpit, the ones who are instructing others are guided by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They are going to escape through a head knowledge the things of the world only to be entangled yet again. And they're going to lead entire congregations that way the method that is tried and true. Look in verse number 13. The manner of these false teachers. Look in verse number 13. They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Look at the next phrase, spots and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. I want you to listen to me carefully. These false teachers have a manner. They have trademark personality characteristics that will lead you. And I want to insert this right here. Listen to the preacher carefully. I'm not talking about Joel Osteen. If you are influenced by Joel and Victoria Osteen, I love you. You're dumber than a box of rocks. If Joyce Meyer influences you, you need help. I'm not talking about them. I am talking about people that at first glance, at first blush, they sound all right. I am talking about people that may use a King James Bible. I am talking about people that may give an outward appearance of some interest and desire in separation from the world. They want to have a good presentation. They're not going to be as careful as they ought to be. But I'm talking about people that on the surface may be very deceiving to you. Look in verse number 13. They riot in the daytime. Church, they have no shame. They have no shame. When are riots? Night. These people are so bad, they are so messed up, they will riot in the daytime. You say, Brother Ains, you just got through saying that they look all right. That's what their image is. That's what their presentation is. But if you hang them around them long enough, their real colors will shine through. You listen to me carefully. About 3 years ago, a dear friend came to me. He said, Brother Ains, I went to a meeting with the hottest name in fundamentalism. And we went out to eat after church. He said, I was appalled at the conversation. They can look like all that, but if you'll hang around them long enough, their real colors will show. And I'd get them outside of the church, and I'd especially get them outside of the pulpit. You understand what I'm saying? You run a greater risk of being influenced by foolishness like this than anything else I can preach to you this morning. They're bold. They're full of themselves. Look at the next phrase. They sport themselves with their own deceivings. Sport, to entertain, to find amusement. What entertains these people? What amuses these people? What makes them snicker up their sleeve? Deceiving you. Leading you down a wrong path. They get entertained by that. And they go out after church and they laugh and snicker at all the people they manipulated to the altar. Are you with me? False teachers. You say, Brother Raines, I'm not sure I'm following you. Let me say it this way. A man talked to me a month ago. He asked me, he said, I need somebody. He said, I've got a situation. I love my pastor. I love my church. There's no rift between me and my pastor. He said, I just need an older man like you. I'm old now. He said, I need somebody. He had an anger issue, Dad. And Seth, I said, you need to get that submitted to the Spirit's control. I said, as a daddy of grown children, I said, one of the things that I grieve over is times when I was angry when all I needed to be was firm. And I said, I watched Satan paint a bullseye on two of my four children's backs and do everything in his power to bring them down and destroy them right around the age of 20. When I said that, I could have taken a 2x4 and hit him upside of the head and it wouldn't have bothered him as much. He went, Preacher, And I just kept going. I said, and these were two. I said, through those 10 years, a tender heart for God. And I said, at 20, I watched Satan just do everything in his power to just absolutely annihilate them. And Seth just wilted there at the table. He said, Brother Raines, two things are killing me right now. He said, A, my son's 18, and I don't want to go through that in 2 years. But he said, the other thing that's coming to my mind while you're talking is this. He said, several years ago, our church had revival. He said, our teenagers were on fire. Our teenagers led our church into revival. And he said, I don't know if we didn't build a wall of prayer around a... He said, I don't know what happened. But he said, Preacher, I'm here to tell you it was real. And he said, 2 years later, those 18-year-olds that were testifying, crying, singing, praising the Lord, walking with God, leading. He said, 2 years later, he said, we could hardly find a one of them. I want to go on. I don't know. I wasn't in one of those services. I want to tell you something. I've been around long enough. I'm going to step out on a piece of on a limb and tell you I have no reason to believe that what they experienced 2 years prior wasn't real. I'm here to tell you the world, the flesh, and the devil, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of the life will never, ever rest. Here's what he said, Brother Billy. He sat like this because he's thinking about his that are now reaching that age. He said, Brother Raines, he said, there's lesbians. He said, there's sodomites. He said, there's atheists. He said, there's all kinds of fornication. He just went down the list and he sat at that table and he said, oh God, I don't want to see that happen to another generation, especially mine. So do you understand why I'm preaching this message on a Sunday morning in the middle of July? The enemy is real. False teachers are real. That your son and daughter can leave a place where we try and preach and pray and love and lead and sit one-on-one. We'll do whatever it takes. They can leave a place like this and the enemy is going to bombard them. And we better be filling them with truth and praying that it gets in their heart and not just their head. They're bold. These false teachers are bold. Number two, they mock. Look at the end of verse 13. Look at the end of verse 13. What does it say? Say those last three words, would you? What do we call that in North Carolina? He's a good old boy. Man. Preacher, he don't preach like you, but man, he's got a personality to die for. I wish I had a better one. I really do. I mean, Joe Friendly might not be your best candidate for a pastor. Am I supposed to be hospitable? Yes. Are there biblical requirements for me as a pastor? Absolutely. But let me tell you something. One of the guys who just makes everybody feel like $1 million, he could be using you because he puts $1 million in his bank account. While they feast with you, everybody likes him. Everybody likes him. Man, every time I leave, I just feel so good. If you're fornicating, maybe you shouldn't feel so good. Maybe I need to be like your friend and say, how's your spiritual life? You been in the Word? Brother Breck, you're a blessing to this church. You have been ever since the Sunday you walked in. How's your prayer life? Lowe's ain't working you to death to where you're just giving your prayer life a lick and a promise, are they? Can we say that to each other?
Sure. Right.
Oh, Brother Raines, that's being a busybody in other men's matters. No. If I've got a disease and you see symptoms in me that you had in you right before it killed you, and you got help right in the nick of time, and you come up to me and say, Brother, preacher, that don't look good. You need to get that checked. Would I bow up at him? Not if I got half a brain. And if you see a spiritual mole on me, right? Love you, buddy. Now, we're not running around here straightening each other out. Y'all know the difference. You know when somebody cares. The most self-righteous person on the planet is an independent Baptist who's lost 5 pounds. Keep your weight. When you've lost 50, come talk to me. I don't want to hear how you lost 5. I can lose 5. Oh, I've done that 100 times. Somebody help me. So we're not running around just straightening, we're going to pray and we're going to love and we're going to bear one another's burdens. And Joe Friendly, Joe Cool, might be the worst thing ever happened to you. Here's where it gets tragic. Look in verse 19. We've seen the method, we've seen the manner of the false teacher and the ones who follow him. Would you look at the manifestation? 19, they promised them liberty. Have any of you had family come to you and say, I have so much liberty in Christ. I can watch what I want to watch. I can wear what I want to wear. I can go where I want to go for entertainment. Do you have a testimony? What about your testimony? Oh, no, I have liberty in Christ. I'm so free. I'm so free. I was in bondage. No longer in bondage. Well, you need to put you on a little chiffon dress and twirl and just get on the top of the mountain with your Andes mints. They promise you liberty. They're in bondage. Look at the verse. Who's in bondage? They are. But they're promising you liberty. You know what that sounds like? This is country, hillbilly, cornbread. They're ensnared. They're in this cage, and they're going, we have so much liberty. No, you're in Satan's snare. You're in Satan's snare. So number one, the perception versus the reality. Somebody told one of my friends, and you're all my friends, so you don't know who I'm talking about. Somebody told one of our families about 5 years ago, said, oh, I'm so free. I'm out from under all of that pressure. Another friend came to the and said, I'm just concerned this person who's so free is hitting me up for sleeping pills. Are you sure you got as much peace and freedom and liberty as you think you do if you're on the street looking for sleeping pills? You might not be as carefree as you think you are. Look at verse 20. After they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. Verse 20, reformation versus regeneration. Worst thing ever happened to you is come to church, like the music, like the kindness of the people, be halfway entertained by the preacher, say, I need to make a new start. I need to turn over a new leaf and clean up, quit doing some really bad things, and say you're born again. It's the worst thing ever happened to you. Because of what we find in the next two verses, verse 21, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Church, listen to the preacher. They were not born again. They were not born again. Church, we compare Scripture with Scripture. The Bible says it would have been better for you not to have known it than after you've known it to turn from it. There are good people that say that means you can know it, you can walk in it, you can turn away from it, you were saved and now you're lost. Let me tell you biblically how we know you weren't saved. Look at verse 22. It's happened unto them, according to the proverb, the true proverb, the dog, this is gross, is turned to his vomit. Why did the dog return to his vomit? He's a dog. Why did the hog, I can't say hog, I say hog. Why did the hog return to his wallowing in the mire? He's a hog. It's his nature. Don't let your friends tell you, you can lose it. You can lose it. It's better not. If they knew it, then they walked away. If they had it and they lost it. No, their nature was never changed. Hogs don't eat their vomit. Dogs don't wallow in the mire. It's not their nature. You want to know why you've turned over a new leaf and a new leaf and a new leaf and a new leaf? Your nature's never been changed. I wish I could say it and it would penetrate a heart. You need to be born again. You need a new nature. The old nature is there, and there's tons of verses. Thank you, brother. There's tons of verses to help us deal with the old nature. We kill it daily. But you've got to have that new nature in there. And there are so many ways to describe it. It is a dynamo churning and generating power, life and life more abundantly, more than conquerors, not just conquerors, more than conquerors. That is what God had. How many Christians do you know living that way? Maybe they're living in defeat, Brother John. Some of them have not been born again. They have not had their nature changed. And here's what they do, Preacher Raines. They escape one mess and they're entangled. And they get untangled and they get into another mess. If you've been there, if that's been you, say amen. Thank you. If you've got family in that, say amen. If you work with people like that, say amen. Nature. The nature's the problem. Here's what one preacher preached from that text. Vomiting dogs and wallowing hogs. It's serious. Church, I am glad there's Bible preaching churches all over North and South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, Alabama. I'm glad. I'm glad when you scan your dial, preaching. But if you were not careful, Gloria, you say it better than anybody in here when you testify. If you're not careful, you grow up around it. You like it. I'll fly away, oh glory. You like it. I did a graveside service yesterday. I don't know who there knew Jesus. They said, I got a song. One of them said, I got a song I want to play for my uncle. It was Stroll Over Heaven with You. I'm glad it wasn't some country beer drinking song. Say amen. Stroll Over Heaven. I don't know how many of them headed to heaven. But we're in the South, and it's what good people do at the graveside. Ain't going to get you into heaven. Second question, and I'm done. Who are you listening to? The internet, social media, sermon audio, sermon net, all of those websites have made it very easy for you to get 24/7 preaching. All well and good. I wouldn't just have it in the back as background noise. I'd be listening to my Bible and I'd be listening to what they're saying. I would be listening to what they're not saying. Perilous days. You need a Bible.